Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Thank you. Awesome day. It's great to be together in the name of our Lord Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our source of life. He is our reason for living. He is eternal life. Our reason for the fact that we are going to continue to live with Him for eternity. And that's why we're here to celebrate. So we want to welcome you here, especially if you're here for the very first time. I've met some of the first-time visitors, but if you're here, could you maybe just raise your hand if you're here for the very first time? If you could just raise your hand quickly. We just want to welcome you. There's a couple down there, and there at the back, there's some hands. It's great to have you here with us this morning. Welcome. Welcome to our family. You're our guests of honor. In that little box, there's some information and a little white card. When it's time for the offering, please don't feel obligated to give anything. But if you fill in that card and you throw that into the offering basket, you will really bless us. And it's awesome to have you here. We'd love to meet with you. These amazing people in this church, they're very friendly. So don't be scared if they greet you and hug you. That'll be good. We enjoy being together, and we appreciate the fact that you've come to visit us. So we want to say thank you for that. We trust you come back. Before I continue, I just want to hand over to Wilhelm.
I thought this is a message for me, but apparently not. Good morning, everybody. I want to share a scripture with you that's very well known, and especially when it comes to tithes and offering. And for those of you that didn't notice that over the last 10 weeks, I was out of town for quite a bit. And the scripture that I'm going to share with you, I said to somebody the other day, 6 out of the last 10 weeks, I've been away from home, which is not so easy. And then this scripture becomes, you know, meaningful in a different way, but I want to share it with you, and then I want to sort of, you know, transpose it if I can, and just, you know, share with you what it really means. But the scripture in Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21, but specifically to the last verse, which says, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." And I think it's a scripture that we all know very well, but, you know, like we've said so many times, you know, we read so many scriptures, but we don't really internalize. We don't really take the time to really trust God to break open that specific word. And it's just something that's just, again, been stirred up in my heart this week. But I'm going to read the whole scripture to you and then just give you a couple of pointers. So from verse 19, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them. And where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasures is, there the desires of your heart will be also." And I think something that was quite striking for me, being away from home for such a long time, or you know, in frequencies, various frequencies, it's, you start to realize that, you know, there are things that are more important, you know, than just your day-to-day work, you know, family and friends and things like that. And also your relationship with the Lord gets tested when you're on the road and you run around like a headless chicken. And so this morning, I just want to ask us a couple of questions. And it's questions that we've heard so many times. And I've said them definitely in this year as well. But the question is, you know, why are we coming to church? You know, are we doing it for our own needs? Are we doing it for our own desires? Do we come here on a Saturday or on a Sunday, and, you know, it's a rush job, and you get here, you know, just to sort of get refreshed for the week? Or do we really come here to serve one another because we want to invest in other people, the people around us? And not just with, you know, with our finances, which is definitely important, but also with our time. And something that we don't speak of is, you know, investing in other people with your emotions. You know, it's so easy to high five, to meet and greet, and then, you know, you don't get involved in other people's lives. You're just friendly. But, you know, it's the question that I'm asking, and that's something that I've realized, is, you know, are we really get involved in other people's lives, you know, where there's mess, you know, where there's a desperate need with regards to emotions, time, and also finances? Because there are people in our congregation, but also in our community that desperately needs not just your money, but they need your time, they need your heart, which is the emotion that I'm talking about, and also the giftings that God has given you. And the question that I'm leaving with you is, you know, what are you doing with those gifts that God has given us? You know, we come to church, and we're in such a mode, because that's the life and the world that we live in. We're in such a mode of just receiving all the time, receiving, receiving, receiving. And we really need to start to understand God's heart with giving and what it really means to give. Give of yourself, give of your resources, give of your time and your emotions and the gifts that we carry with us. And you know, unfortunately, you know, in a charismatic movement like ours, you know, gifts are all over the place, and there are often people that hide in the corners or the end of the aisle or wherever the case might be. And you have very specific gifts that the church and the congregation and the community and God Himself is waiting for people like us, wherever we are hiding, to just stand up and do that simple act of kindness, whether it's time, emotion, whether it's finance, whatever the case might be. So the challenge this morning is really, you know, first and foremost with, you know, what's our heart's attitude when we come here? Is it to receive or is it to give? And then, you know, when we get to giving, let's really ask God and let's really trust God to show us individually but also collectively where and in which areas of our lives can we actually impact and give into other people's lives. So with that, let's close our eyes. Lord, I thank you this morning that we can just come before you and just bring our hearts. Lord, we're all in such different spaces this morning. Father God, some of us arrived here with such an expectation, the gifts, and some of us arrived here with such an expectation to receive, Lord. And I pray that this morning, Lord, that you will align our hearts with your heart, Lord, that you will align our hearts, Lord, with what you want for this church, for this congregation, for this community, but also for every family represented here this morning, Lord, and that you will open our hearts, Lord, that we will not just arrive to receive, Lord, but more importantly, that we will arrive with an expectation that we can give a little bit of ourselves, Lord. And Lord, that it will not just be a Sunday thing, but it will be a Monday thing and a Tuesday thing and a Wednesday thing and a Thursday thing and a Friday thing and a Saturday thing as well, Lord. Well, Lord, we thank you that you are the source of everything that we have in this morning, Lord. We come and first and foremost, we give our hearts to you, Lord, so that we can be your vessels, Lord, and be your hands and feet, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. As the offering baskets come past, the first-time visitors, just remember to put those little cards in. Thank you very much.
Right, guys, so the children's church, the age 3 to grade 4s, you guys must follow King Judah, please. And then we've got the grade 5s to the grade 7s, you guys must leave through the left exit for us. Fabulous. Then we've got a very cool dance group, a worship dance group, that's going to be on Tuesday and Friday. And if you need more info exactly what dance and how you should dance, and I know loads of you have got a lot of talent to dance, when the music starts, you just start to boogie, so just contact Ilona. There's a contact details, so you can ask her more about that. She's got a heart for dance, so fabulous. Join her. Then we've got a very cool men's ministry on the 26th of November. That's when all the men come together and they're basically imparting each other's lives and they spend time with the Lord. It's just such a cool time just to be together and get to know each other as men and, yeah, just investing in each other. It's the 26th of November. We're going to have it at the church hall. And you have to be 18 and older, I'm afraid. Okay. Fabulous. Then we've got the Hermanus VAC outreach. Now, this is such an exciting time because this is when the matrics come for their year-end vacation. Okay. My husband told me last year, because he was on the shuttle team, and he actually picked up four guys. I think, what was the time, love? 3 o'clock in the morning. But they were so vulnerable, and they were so open, and he could just share with them. I mean, he told them he was a winemaker, and immediately they were open, because here's a guy that's a winemaker and a Christian, and he could just testify. And they were sitting there big eyes. They couldn't believe that this guy is taking them home for free. The one guy actually said, love, what was it? Joch, oom, dit is asof die Here jou gestuur het. So, guys, die Here het hom gestuur. Die man weet het nie, maar die Here het. So, guys, we actually need people for the food stall. So, we're going to hand out food from 12 in the evening to 3 in the morning. I mean, there's nothing that blesses you more when you matric and you get a free hot dog or whatever is free to eat. We need people for the shuttle services. We need people for beach activities where you're going to play some beach activities with the matrix. And then we've got a chill lounge. So if you, I like to chill. So if you like to chill on the lounge and just chat to the matrix, I mean, God just gives you awesome word for the people just to love them. Because a lot of them have got a lot of questions. It's quite a vulnerable time where their lives can change towards Jesus or just go the other way. And then we need people that can pray while all these activities are going on. I know there's a lot of people of you that's brilliant at praying and that God has called you to pray. We need prayer for that. And it's so awesome. Just listen to this testimony. Last year, there were no incidents of vandalism, no incidents of drunk driving, and there were no incidents of accidents. And the police and municipality were so impressed by us and what we did, is they asked us if we can do this permanently every year. So let's do it again, guys, and get involved, and you guys can just contact Jaco. Awesome. Over to Andries.
I just want to, I have a video clip that I want us to play. It's in relation to the hate speech bill. I'm sure many of you have heard of it. Many of you have seen emails coming around. It's a new bill that the government is pushing. They've been working on this for a long time, and there's some serious implications for the church. And there are many people that are rightfully concerned about this bill. And we just want to give you some information about this bill and how to react to it. We as a movement, Shofar, as a Christian movement, we are working together with For South Africa. You can actually Google them, For South Africa. And our approach is to try and get an extension to the date that closes for public comment. Because there's only 4 weeks given for the church to respond to this bill. So for the church to properly respond, we need more time. So that the legal experts can actually work through the bill and come up with a reasonable defense and suggestion of how to tweak this bill so that our religious freedom is still entrenched within our constitution. So this is really what the bill is about, but I've got a short little video clip of how you can currently react and respond as a believer to this bill. Okay, we can just play that clip.
The Department of Justice has recently released the hate crime bill for public comment. The problem with this bill is that it has been in the making for 4 years. But the Department of Justice has only given the public about 4 weeks to make a comment to Parliament. The first problem is the deadline that has to be short. The second problem is what constitutes hate crime. The definition in the bill is too broad. Justice,
Okay, so those of you who feel strongly about this matter, it's important that we actually just write the mail. Just all you need to do is just you need to address the mail in a decent tone and just say this is your concerns, the deadlines, the definition, and the potential criminalization of certain scriptures. That's all you need to do. Mr. T. Ross, the email is there if you've missed that. If you've missed that, you can also get it at the office. We'll give that to you. Otherwise, you can also go to forsouthafrica.org.za, For South Africa. That's the organization through which we are working, and we are pushing for an extension of the deadline. If we get an extension for the deadline, the Christians lawyers in South Africa can actually work on a better response to this bill. Currently, the time frame for this is just so short. We want to make a proper proposition to that. Okay, so then also there is coming up in Somerset West, our congregation in Somerset West, they have a relationship weekend from the 25th to the 27th of November. That is for married and unmarried people who want to grow in their relationship. This is a great opportunity for those who want to come. I think the cost is 200. I think the next slide has the cost on it. Do we have a next slide? I think the cost is 200 Rand, and there's also babysitting involved. So if you want to come to this weekend in Somerset West, there we go, 250 Rand per couple, but it's per couple. Babysitting and a lunch is included. It's in Somerset West. If you want more information, you can just contact the office. Great, and then with that, we are going to call King Judah. So if you're a visitor and you have children, the children can go. Some of them are already going. I'm very excited to get to Kitty's church. But let's call King Judah. 1, 2, 3. There's the king. The children can follow the king. And remember, parents, please collect your children after church. Awesome.
We're going to do a new song a little bit later on. So it's a very, very simple song. We're just going to sing verse 1 and the chorus once, so you just get the hang of it, and then we'll get back to our worship. Jesus is risen. 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 The veil is torn. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. Thank you.
we stay in that place, I just really felt the Holy Spirit reminding me about Acts. And they were waiting in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of violent tempered blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to be tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak to others, to each other in different tongues as the Spirit kept them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. And I really believe, you know, as we come in one accord, the Holy Spirit wants to do different things in our lives this morning. I really believe there's a freedom to break through. I really believe there's a freedom to get out of your comfort zone, to break the blocks of your religious mindset and begin to allow what happened to them to happen to us. And from the sound of the movement of the air, the sound of Jesus coming, many thousands were added to the church that day. And I believe if you open up your heart and your spirit right now, that Holy Spirit comes and begins to move through your life. You begin to speak words that you have no idea what you're talking about, because it's a revelation of a living God. You begin to go into situations and circumstances where you speak to death and it is defeated, where you begin to speak life and it is appropriated, where you begin to speak to your finances and they begin to change. You speak to your relationships and they begin to blossom. And Holy Spirit, we just ask this morning that as we stay in this place, that as your Holy Spirit comes, Holy Spirit, as you touch us, as you bring life, as you bring abundance, as you bring a new anointing upon us, that we would begin to declare to those things that they are no longer a part of our lives, but that your kingdom would come, heaven would come and touch earth, and that you empower us to go out to share the good news, to turn signs and wonders into our community, and to bring about a change and revival within this place. We speak forth the power, we speak forth the release of that right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Begin to raise your voice. Begin to raise your voice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody with a word or a vision that you would like to share with us, God is laying on your heart for us as a church, we invite you to share this with us.
just want to share what the Lord said to me a couple of weeks ago when I was in worship in our church in Cape Town, and we were praying and singing about revival, and I said, Lord, I just so want revival in my life. And also in our church, in our body here, we cry for revival. And the Lord said to me, hard hearts aren't ignited by my fire. And I said, Lord, is my heart hard? And just about an hour before that, I'd had a thought. I'd seen someone, and I just thought in my mind, oh, Lord, not again. And the Lord said, the brother that you thought about is your brother. And he's in leadership. And he stands before me in this church. And I realized, you know, that our standard, God's standard, is so high. And our standard of judging one another, of just thinking, oh, not again. God says that's hard. And stones don't ignite with fire. And so I've sought the Lord for my own life, that he would guard my thoughts. And as Proverbs says, guard your heart. We guard our families, we guard our marriage, we guard our money. But I realized I haven't been guarding my heart. And these thoughts of judgment, God said, that's hard heart. And I just want to share that because you obviously are a body also who's just crying out for revival. As we know, Jesus is coming and we want to be ready. And so I just want to say, just check your hearts, check your thoughts, and guard your heart, that we would all be a wonderful, pure, holy bride for Jesus. Thank you.
Yes, Father, we thank you that we can come to you this morning and we can ask you, Father, to, by your Spirit, examine our hearts. Lord, that you would soften our hearts to receive not from man, but from you. So, Lord, this morning as we come into your presence to hear your word, Lord, let us receive it from you and not from man, so that you may speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to ask Alwyn's to come. He's going to preach this morning. I'm not preaching. Alwyn's. We're planting with him next year, June. Still the due date. So please continue to pray for us as we're preparing to plant with Alwyn's in Malawi, Lilongwe, next year. We're very excited about that. Plant in the Shofar Church there in Lilongwe in the city. And I was just there a few weeks ago and was very encouraged by the excitement and the expectation. And we wanted to also give Alwyn's an opportunity to share with us the word that God has laid on his heart. Awesome. Go for it. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Alwyn's. Thank you for the word that you've given him. Lord, I pray that as he shares it, that our hearts would be open to receive what you are saying to us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord is good. Amen. The anointing of the Lord is here. I feel the anointing of God. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Even as the praise and worship team were in front, I feel the presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. The Lord is good. All the time the Lord is good. The presence of the Lord is here. Holy Spirit is here. We'll be talking today about raising an altar. Raising an altar. And we know, as Christians, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The moment we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Which means the Holy Spirit is inside of us. But again, we know we cannot talk of a temple without an altar. So I believe God wants to speak to us today about raising an altar. And to just define an altar, it is a place where sacrifice of praise and worship is made. It is a place whereby we bring our worship. And that place is our heart. I am just touched by how the Lord communicate. The lady who just came here, she just spoke about the heart. She just spoke about the heart. And that touched me. She spoke about the heart. All she spoke about was the heart. Her prayer was, God, we need revival. God, I want to see revival. But what the Lord spoke to her was the heart. Are you ready for me? What the Lord spoke to her was the heart. So we'll be talking about raising an altar. And don't be disturbed by that word, an altar. It just means we have to raise the way we worship our God. We have to raise the way we praise our God. We have to raise the way we do everything to do with God. Remember, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we no longer move by the carnal. We are no longer normal people. We are supernatural people. So we move by the Spirit and not by the flesh. When people look at us, they will see the flesh moving. But actually, we are in spirit. This is where God wants us to be. Have you ever wondered? Sometimes we Christians, we wake up in the morning and we talk to everybody in the house and we speak to our neighbors and we go to work, we speak to everybody at work, everybody at the street, but we don't speak with God. Have you ever wondered? Sometimes we wake up in the morning, we take our phones, we see our WhatsApp, we see our what's down, we see our Twitter, we see our Facebook, we came to work, we see our emails, we read our letters, we read the other books, but we cannot open the Bible and read even a single scripture from the Word of God. This is what the Lord is talking about. When that woman spoke to God about revival, this is what the Lord spoke to her, our hearts. Oh, Jesus. Can we pray? Holy Spirit, we thank you. Abba, Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. At the mention of your name, every knee shall bow. At the mention of your name, every tongue shall confess that Jesus, you are Lord. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. May we see your kingdom here. May you see your glory here. Father, today, Holy Spirit, I know you are here, Holy Spirit. May you liberate, Jesus. May you set free. May you deliver. May you empower us. May you heal. May you speak to us in the name of Jesus. We thank you. And we want to do whatever you want us to do. Empower us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first scripture is 1 Samuel, chapter 1, 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 1 to 15. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim,
And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Penina. Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came to Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Penina, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion. For he loved Hannah, although the Lord has closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord has closed her womb. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore, Hannah wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" So Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of the soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli washed her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink. But I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I have read this passage again and again and again. This woman, Hannah, she loved the Lord. And actually her name, Hannah, means favor. But to her advisories, to Penina, it looked like Hannah was not favored at all. The name Hannah means grace. But to people who looked at Hannah, it looked as if Hannah is cursed and not having the grace of the Lord. And they provoked her. Penina provoked her. That Hannah spent her life at home weeping and not eating most of the times. But she was the woman of the Lord. And Penina, which means noise, was so happy to provoke this person. This is exactly what happens most of the times when you believe God for something and when all your neighbors know that you are a Christian. And all of them, they just sit down and watch your life to learn something from you. And at the same moment, God is closing your womb. At the same moment, they think they are better than yourself. But at the same moment, your name is grace. Your name is favor. And Eli, according to the Bible, was a priest. And we know at home, this woman could not eat. This woman could just stay maybe or sit down maybe at the corner. Because the other woman had children. And she had none. And if the Bible says she was busy provoking her, but year after year she was going to the house of the Lord to cry to God. So, it means she had no peace at the whole house. And the Bible says at this passage that this day, she went to the tabernacle. In other Bibles, the synagogue or the church. And there she found a priest. She entered into the church. Then she started praying. And the priest Eli looked at her. I am just imagining that maybe it was far. I don't know. But I just imagine that she was praying, but the distance between her, where she was and where the priest was far. Because the priest could see this woman's lips moving. But he could not hear what this woman is talking about. That the priest spoke a little bit like Penina at home. You woman, how come you drink and you come to church to pray? Just look at the life of Hannah. She prayed like that because she was what I call labor in prayer. When you have written down your prayer petitions, one, I want this, God, let me worship him. When you have your time frame and you have done everything on the list and it's not working, it's when you tear your papers and your plans. And it's when you pray, the kind of praying that nobody understands you, but yourself and God. She was at that level. Remember, the Holy Spirit was not yet released. We could have said she was praying in tongues. But I know you will say, no, we also read the Bible. The Holy Spirit was not released that time. You see, I could have said she was praying in tongues. That's why the priest could not understand. But no, the Holy Spirit was not yet released. But this woman prayed in a way that even the priest was disturbed. I have been a priest for many years, but I have never seen this. And there, she was in labor. Her mouth was moving. But what she was praying about, the priest could not hear. And she refused to be offended. If it was some of us, we could have said, at home I'm crying because of Penina. Then I went to church. Then the pastor is saying, I've just drink a lot of beer or a lot of wine, and I'm coming here to church. The pastor has actually chased me away. I don't know where now to go. Let me go and find another church. These are some of the small reasons that people We keep on jumping from one church to another church. But you know, Hannah understood that, no, priest, I cannot blame you. Because this kind of prayer is not common. Not many people pray like this. So I am not going to be offended by what you have spoken, because I know you don't understand. But let me tell you, I haven't drank wine or anything intoxicated. The only reason I am like this, it is because I am pouring my soul before the Lord. I am pouring my soul before the Lord. So who understands this type of prayer? It is me pouring. Because I am in labor. Because it's like I'm giving birth. And the Lord is there. He sees what's happening here. This was the kind of prayer that this woman prayed. And another reason why we think she was not offended is by before she answered the priest, she's saying, "No, my Lord." People who offend you, you don't call them my Lord. You don't call them master. Sometimes it's just answer. So if the priest was Andres, she never said, "No, Andres." But she says, "No, my Lord." This is another level of honoring somebody. She says, "No, my Lord." Because she knew this priest is the man of God. Let me, even if it looks like I am a little bit offended, but I know he doesn't know. So let me honor him. No, my Lord. The Bible says this woman was in a sorrowful spirit. And a sorrowful spirit is when you know you are in deep waters. A sorrowful spirit is when you don't know where to go. A sorrowful spirit is when you think you have done A, B, C, but they all seems not working. And you don't know, what should I do now? A sorrowful spirit is when you say, "God, I know I have prayed. I know I have fasted. But I want to fast again than never before. I want to pray again than never before." The sorrowful spirit is when you look or you seek God more than you did yesterday or this morning. And in Matthew 26, verse 37 and 40, "And he took him," this is now in the New Testament, "and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he," Jesus, "began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed." This is Jesus. This is Jesus. "He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them," the disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." This is Jesus. "Even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Stay here and pray with me." Verse 40, "Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What? Yeah. What? There is an exclamation mark. So we know it wasn't what? It was what? Because remember, Jesus, he is not in sorrowful spirit, but he is in exceedingly sorrowful spirit. So we cannot even compare the sorrow Hannah had with the sorrow Jesus is having. That's why Jesus is the man of sorrow. Because he carried all our burdens. Hannah just wanted a son. Jesus wanted all of us. That's why he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. I'm gonna die even. So Jesus experienced being sorrowful in Gethsemane. That's why most of the times when the enemy is kicking you left, right, center, run to God. Rather be sorrowful there with him yourself. Run to God. This is all about raising an altar. That's why in the beginning we said, have you ever wondered? You greet everybody in the house. How are you? How are you? The neighbors, how are you? How are you? At work, how are you? How are you? Have we spoken to God? If no, why? We are living in a spiritual world. That's why we need to check if we have read a lot of things. Have you read the Bible? This is all about raising an altar. Raising a place in our hearts that says, God, you're going to be first. I mean, if Jesus, being the Son of God, could quote scriptures to defeat the temptation the enemy was throwing at him, do you think we can just say, devil, go away, and the devil can go without quoting a scripture? I don't think so. Because if it was so, Jesus could have said so. Everything that the enemy did, all the temptations, if you are a son of God, if you are a son of God, if you are a son of God, Jesus could say, it is written, it is written, it is written. And the question is, if we are not in this spiritual book, do you think we can quote anything there? We will become powerless Christians. We will become Christians who can just wave like this each time the wind blows. We will become Christians without power. We will be Christians who are not different with non-Christians. We will join the world. Our Christianity will be based on coming to church. My name is there. But no power of God. When the Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we have to remember in each and every temple, there is this. And this is our heart. We need to raise that. So, I believe God wants to speak to us about having an anger and a thirst to say, Lord, I want to hear more from you. So this is your word. I'm going to sit down and I want you to speak to me.
I don't know where should I start reading. Because this book, you cannot think with your head. Let me read John today. No. This is a spiritual book. Don't think with your head where you want to read. Think with your heart. Ask God, I want to read the Bible today. Where? The Lord will be so pleased. Each and every time, the Lord will reveal himself through his word. He will reveal himself through his word. And you began reading and laughing alone. That your kids will ask, Mama, why are you laughing? You say, oh, the Lord is so funny here. The Lord is so funny here. I never thought God can make me laugh like this. But I'm just reading this scripture. You see, and Christianity finally will become something, with power. You see, when you sleep at night, the Lord will give you a scripture, wake up in the morning. You go to that scripture, you read, oh God, thank you so much. You just wanted to speak to me about this. This is how God reveals himself to us. It's through the word of God. This is why Christ was saying, if you ask, if you seek, if you do this, but somebody asked, but Lord, and then say, if you are not receiving, sometimes it's because you pray amiss. Praying amiss is not praying according to the word of God. But if you take this word and into your heart, you know that the heart of God. So it means you pray according to the word. You pray according to the word because this is not a physical book. Yes, it is printed by people. But those who printed, they don't even understand what's in here, some of them. Because this is a spiritual book. That's why people preach one scripture differently. This is a spiritual book. The Lord is good. So Hannah prayed year after year. Hannah prayed year after year. Whenever she goes to Shiloh, she prayed. Whenever she goes to the tabernacle, she prayed. Whenever she's at the house, she's crying. She's weeping. She's not eating. But she never gave up. She kept on praying. She kept on knocking. She kept on seeking the Lord. She kept on asking God. Because she knew God is God. If I am facing these challenges, it doesn't mean there is no God. Actually, this is the assurance that there is God. Because the enemy knows. Once I am disturbed by what I see, I'm going to lose something called faith. And he is going to impart in my life doubt. Then the moment I'm having doubt, it is impossible to please God. Then I'll be stuck without receiving what I've been asking the Lord for. So Hannah knew, I'm not going to doubt. I'll keep on praying. I'll keep on praying. I'll keep on praying. But the Bible says again, year after year, year after year, she still was a barren woman. But she was determined. She kept on. Sometimes we are so quick to give up. That's why we came up with these funny prayers. Lord, if it is you, let the sun rise tomorrow. If it is not you, let this happen. Or not let. You see, those funny prayers. I don't know where people got those things from. I don't know.
I don't believe those kind of prayers that come from God. If it is you, God, let this happen. Let me see a red car coming. I mean, nobody in that area has got a red car. The one with the red car is in Jubek. What's going to happen? You see? So sometimes it's because we are trying to fit into the world, but we are not people of the world. The Spirit is here inside us, but we don't communicate with the one in us. We communicate with the one outside there. But Christ wants us to know this morning that He is so close to us than a brother. Christ wants us to know this morning that He is so close to us than a mother. He is inside each one of us. The moment we received Him as our personal Savior, He is inside of us. So Hannah refused to give up. And something happened. This time around, if you read that passage, there is a day Hannah woke up, went into the temple. The way she prayed, it's written in the Bible. The other times, the Bible just says he prayed and he cried and he wept. But this time around, God says, no, this has to be written. This has to be written down. The way Hannah prayed this time around was, God, it's no longer about me, but it's about you. I've been telling you, God, I've been praying to you for a son, for a child, for many years. Today I'm going to pray again. But this time around, I'm saying to you, God, if you give me a son, I'm going to take that son back to you. I really wanted a son for many years. But this time around, if you give me, I'll just steward that son. But I will give back to you. And according to the Bible, it was a vow to God. Then what happened? God answered. It's the same thing. I want to get married. Why do you want to get married? You know, because even my young sister is married. Okay. I want to do good in business. I'm a businessman. I'm an entrepreneur. But why do you want to do good? I just want to be the best in Amanas. Okay. Is God included in our prayers? Is God included in our petitions? Or it is all about ourselves? Let's include God, because this is a spiritual thing. We are spiritual. And everything we touch and everything we do has to be according to the word of God. Let's include God. And it's not because it is now a formula, or I'm not saying this because anything that then I want this, then let me include God. I want this, let me include God. No. But it has to be a change of heart. It has to be something that is coming from the heart. Something that is coming from the heart. A real connection. Not a cosmetic one. Not saying, Elvis says, I have to include God in everything. Okay. I want a house now, but God, you know what? This is going to happen. Or I want a car now, but you know what? Every Sunday I'll be carrying people to church. I mean, God knows our hearts, man. Our including of God should not be cosmetic. It has to be genuine. It has to be something that we are understanding who we are. I am spiritual. I am a child of God. And God is my Father. And I'm going to do this because this is how we operate, me and my daddy. This is how we do it. Me and my daddy. Not trying to fake things, but just to be real. Who are you? And operate from that level. Psalms 127 verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who builds it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Have you seen something here? What I'm seeing is, those who build a house will build it. The Bible doesn't say, if God is not there, it's not going to happen. No. The Bible says, unless they will actually build it. But if God is not there, they are building it in vain. They will try to guard the city, but if the Lord is not there, they are just guiding it in vain. That's why we cannot afford, as well as Christians, to pray without God in it. Because we are praying in vain. That's why we can't afford to just worship God without God in it. Because we don't want to waste our time knowing we are praying or worshiping in vain. That's why everything that we as Christians are doing or be doing, God has to be first. This is raising our altars. As saying, an altar is a place where we do sacrifice. Praise, sacrifice of worship. So anything coming on the altar, which is our hearts, has to be real. That's why Hannah, the sorrowful spirit, she was pouring herself unto God. Even though the Holy Spirit was not yet given, but she was pouring herself before God. Jesus in Gethsemane, he was pouring himself unto God. Us, we need to be at that level of being serious when it comes to prayer. When you kneel down, understand who you are kneeling before. He's not a human being. He's God. So we have to understand, because if you read the Revelation, how God is, it sometimes brings fear. Because the Bible says some angels, they worship God, but they hide their faces. In worshiping God, they are creatures which we don't see here on the earth, worshiping God. And the Bible says, let everything that has breath worship God. And we have breath. And every time we are coming before the God, we have to know, who is this God? Before we just go and, Father, I'm sleeping now,
You're on the bed. You see, we need to be real in everything we are doing as Christians. God loves us so much. Hallelujah. And sometimes you wonder, like, I mean, why does God allow Peninas upon our lives? Why does God allow people like Penina upon Hannah? Like, why? And if you read in 12, verse 7, it's for humility. Paul is saying, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, lest I become exalted. Lest I be exalted above measure. So, sometimes it's for humility. And in Galatians 2:20, sometimes it's to kill our arrogance. You see, because sometimes the Lord can just bless you so much that you think it's no longer the Lord, but it is you, because you are so much wise, or you're a better guy, or, I mean, yeah, you're just bright. You're just bright. It's not even God, you see. And in Galatians 2:20, sometimes God allows Peninas to kill our arrogance. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So what we are saying is we have to remember Jesus, even in Gethsemane, when he says, my soul, when he was in solo, he prayed. Even in Gethsemane, Jesus prayed. Paul and Silas, they were in jail, but they prayed. They praised God. They worshipped God. But in prison, yes. And the disciples of Jesus Christ in the upper room. Sometimes when they say the disciples in the upper room, we think they were having parties and eating and everything was fine. No, the situation was terrible. The situation was very terrible. And they were in the upper room just waiting for God. They were so much afraid. Without the Holy Spirit, Christianity is very hard. And they were so much afraid. And they were in the upper room. But they prayed. So us, we need to pray. When things are better, we need to pray. When things are not better, we need to pray. Hallelujah. So the question is, how do we pray? Or how should we pray? In Hebrews 11, verse 6, in faith, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we know faith comes from hearing the word. That's why we need to read. If we pray without reading the word, without hearing the word, that's why sometimes we pray nonsense prayers. So, faith. We have to pray in faith according to Hebrews 11:6. Pray in faith, because without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not those who part-time seek him, but those who diligently seek him. And we need also, just like Hannah, be persistent, be determined.
You see this war in front of you, just be determined. I know God has said the other side. I'm going to break this war. Be determined. Be persistent. We can read 1 Samuel 1:12. And another point we have to pray in spirit and in truth. John 4:23. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Why? For the Father is seeking such to worship him. So we have to know, once we receive Jesus as our personal Savior, we are no longer no more to the world. We are spiritual. And this is a spiritual book. And we need to live in spirit and in truth. Finally, I believe this morning God's desire is he be able to speak to us through his word. I believe this morning God's desire is he want to listen from us. Sometimes we just close our mouth on God for a week, for a month, without speaking to him. But he loved us so much that he gave his only son to die for us. So it wasn't easy for God to release Jesus to die on our case. I believe this morning God wants to restore us, to put us to a place whereby we will have the hunger and the thirst to know him more. Because he is not far from us. He is within us. He is in us. And everything, all the questions that you are having, the answers are in here. You want to speak to us. But at the same time, he wants us to give him that chance to make a choice of saying, God, I want to hear more from you. And God, I want to speak to you. That place of intimacy is what God is looking for. And if you are here this morning, as I have said, all this and the prayer are spiritual. Sometimes maybe you want to pray, you want to speak to God, but you just end up yawning or just sleeping. Before you know it, you're sleeping. You haven't even said a word to God, but you received Jesus as your personal Savior. And there is a battle for you to speak with God. If you are here, you can come forward. We're going to stand with you in prayer. And if maybe you want to read the Bible and you are so determined, the moment you open the Bible, you become sleeping, like, or so tired, or just bored, but you can read a novel in 2 days. But to open the Bible and read a single scripture, it's very difficult for you. You can come forward. We can stand with you in agreement. God wants to restore both of us, including myself. I've shared my testimony with some of the people we work together with about the same thing of reading the word. And if you are here, maybe you are in that season where, which Hannah was in sorrowful spirit. You are asking God for something. And you have been praying again and again and again and again. And for you, it seems heaven is closed. You can also come forward. We'll pray a prayer of agreement with you. But again, there might be somebody. We have spoken about prayer. But you really don't know what is that prayer about. Who should we pray to? You haven't received Jesus as your personal Savior and you are here. It's going to be a bad thing also to just finish the service without giving you a chance to come forward and receive Jesus. May God bless you, church.
Amen. Let's just close our eyes. Father, we want to thank you that you have spoken to us, Lord, and I just will pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to our hearts, Lord, for those of us, Lord, that are struggling, Father, with a sorrowful heart, Lord, that are trusting you for breakthrough, Father, that has been praying, Father, to you, Lord, and heaven seems to be silent. Father, I want to pray for those, Lord. We want to ask that if you're going through a season where you are calling on God and you're trusting God for breakthrough, I want to ask you to come forward. And if you are struggling to pray, if you are struggling to pray with God and you want to release, you have a desire to pray, and we want to ask you to come forward. And if you have a desire to hear God's voice, to spend time in His Word, just to study His Word, if you're struggling with these things, we want to ask you to come forward and we want to pray with you. And if you're here and you want to receive Jesus, we also want to ask you to come with you. So if God has been speaking to you about prayer, about a renewed commitment to prayer, we want to ask you to come forward. If you're here and God has been speaking to you about you spending time in His Word, we want to ask you to come forward. And especially for those who are like Hannah, calling out to God, you have a petition you're making to God. You're in a season where you are praying and your heart is sorrowful. You know about this feeling. I don't know who you are, but if that is you, come forward. Come with that and bring it to the altar. Bring it to the altar. So for some of us, you want to create an altar in you. And for others, you need to bring something to the altar. If that is you, we're going to ask you to come forward right now. Quickly come forward. We're going to stand with you. We're going to trust God for breakthrough in your life. And it's not whether the priests accept you or not, or whether the priest interprets what he interprets. It's about God hearing your heart. That's what it's about. So whether you want to create an altar, you want to say, God, I want to pray more, Father. I want to create an altar in me, Lord. I want to make a commitment, Father, not just to have a temple, but to build an altar where I come to you daily. Father, I want to come to you daily, Lord. I struggle to come to you daily. I struggle to come to you daily. I get distracted. I get distracted by the what's ups and the what's downs. And I can spend so much time with all this social media, Father, but I realize that I don't have a capacity in me to spend time with you, God. And this morning I'm coming to you, Father, and I want to build an altar, Lord. I want to change, Lord. I want to change in my heart. If that is you wanting to come forward. And if you're struggling to spend time in His Word, I want you to come forward too, and we're going to pray with you. And then especially if you're in a season and you have a sorrowful heart, you know what that means. You know when you've been pouring out your spirit and you're trusting God for something and you need breakthrough, I want to ask you to come forward. And what are we going to do? We're going to pray with you. If the facilitators can come and join. We're going to have all the facilitators come as well. And we're going to pray for you. And I want to tell the facilitators, what is your desire? What is on your heart? And we're going to pray through that. And I'm going to dismiss the meeting for the rest of us. Thank you for your patience. Thank you, Elwins, for sharing that word. Powerful word. Thank you, Elwins, for being obedient to that. And we're going to pray. And if you are there, you can remain seated. You can pray with these people. I'm going to dismiss the meeting. There's some great coffee and fellowship at the back. Thank you for coming. But for you that are here, bring your petitions to the Lord. And these people are going to stand with you in agreement as we pray with you for your desire. And I want to ask you, whatever you pray, include God in it with your heart. Search your heart. You know, there's some things that you've been praying for yourself, but God wants you to be, He wants himself to be in the center of your life. Not you, but you, but him. And for some of us, we just need to make that change. Say, God, I want you to be the center of my life. Not the things and the wants of this world, but you. So, Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful hearts, Lord, that are responding to you in thirst and hunger for more of you. Lord, even the needs that we bring to you, Lord, our petitions, our cries, Lord. Father, we bring this to you differently this morning. Father, we bring it to you with you in mind. Father, we want to involve you, include you. We want to make you the center of our life and also the center of our needs. Father, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will define for us what is for us and what is for your kingdom and your will. So this morning as we pray, Father, we pray for your kingdom and your will to be done in these lives as you become the center of their lives and of their needs and their expectations and aspirations. Lord, I pray for each one of us, Father, that as we leave this place, Lord, that you will remain the center of our lives. Lord, when we pray and we present our desires before you, Father, we pray that you will remain the center of our lives, that we will not be seeking after things in this world that is empty, but that we'll be seeking after you, your will and your purpose, which is full and complete. So even in this week as we leave this place, God, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will expose our own hearts for the pursuits in our lives, that you may remain the center of it all. And we thank you that you answer us when you are. When you're the center, Lord, you answer us and you provide for us and you give for us. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. There's some coffee at the back. Please enjoy that. If you're a visitor, we trust you enjoyed our stay, and I hope people will greet you and welcome you here, and we trust to see you soon again. You're always welcome. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.